We're about to have a pretty contentious August here in the state of Tennessee, and the effects of the gun control debate here are going to have massive implications in other states as well. Welcome back to another T-Rex Talk. Today we're going to be discussing red flag laws, specifically sort of launching off of the video that we published yesterday on YouTube, Everything Wrong with Red Flag Laws Part 1. If you haven't watched the video, please go watch it right now, partly because it'll make this particular T-Rex Talk episode make a little more sense, but also because I would like to get a ton of views on that video. Now, this is true of all videos. I would love to have more views on all T-Rex videos. We generally do not ask you to watch more videos or to subscribe or to like or to smash the bell or anything like that, because if you want to, you will. But I have plans for this particular red flag YouTube video. I'm going to be sending it out to all of the representatives in the state of Tennessee and the governor's office and various other administrative aides and employees of the state. And the more views that it has, I think the more seriously people will take it. Maybe. So share it around. It's performing like a lot of our political videos on YouTube. They're getting lower views than normal. If you don't have a YouTube channel, there's this interesting analytics panel, and it shows you this very interesting sort of funnel shape. Inside of there is your normal performance of videos. And sometimes we have videos that perform better than normal, but generally they all kind of hang out inside of that funnel. But our political videos always underperform. And I assumed that the big reason is they're just boring talking head videos. And yet the history of Glock video, which is an extremely boring talking head video, is performing better than a lot of our other YouTube videos. There's no shooting footage. There's no cool hijinks at the range. It's just a boring talking head video talking about the history of Glock. And that may actually be a clue. It could be that the YouTube viewership prefers to watch gun-related content, and politics is not gun-related enough, even when we're talking about gun control. Or it could be that the YouTube algorithm just kind of automatically deprioritizes certain things and prioritizes other things. We'll never probably know entirely for sure, but just go check out the YouTube video, because then you'll know what this episode is about, and you will also boost the view count. The view count might increase the importance of the video in the eyes of some of the Tennessee legislators and executive staff that see it later, if they haven't already seen it this week. And I want to just go through some of the YouTube comments, because one of the things that I asked in the video was for a recommendation of topics for part two. There's a bunch of things that you could talk about. One of them is mental health. I need to do a bunch of more research on this, because mental health is something that is brought up a lot when people talk about red flag laws. But up until recently, only one red flag law in one state mentioned mental health at all. It's something that is used as a talking point and as a major discussion, and a lot of the red flag rhetoric revolves around crazy people, mental health issues, but then the actual law itself doesn't even touch that particular topic with a 10-foot pole. And I almost said that in the video, that only one state says this, but then I noticed the article was a couple years old, and we've actually had a couple of new red flag laws passed since then, so I gotta go and do the research, figure that one out. But red flag law stuff generally talks a big game about this, that, and the other, and then very specifically just does general gun confiscation. Tennessee may be a little bit different, because there has been a lot of mental health talk around potential red flag language. Now, the reason I say potential red flag language, I'm going to get a little deeper into what is going on here in Tennessee than I did in the YouTube video. The YouTube video has to be for everybody. I wanted it to be a kind of entry-level video into red flag laws in general for the YouTube audience, but you, listening to this podcast, are a diehard T-Rex fan. You are okay with long, boring talking head videos. You're even okay with long, boring talking head podcasts where you can't even see the talking head. So we're going to get into Tennessee's situation a little bit more. As you know, there was a school shooting in Nashville. Covenant School, which is part of a Presbyterian church, lost 6 of its people, 3 adults and 3 children, to a murderer who busted in and began killing people with 2 firearms. The shooter was a female who was using male pronouns and was undergoing some level of gender therapy, the details of which we just don't know what they are. The shooting comes immediately after a major media push criticizing Tennessee for passing a law that prevents gender-affirming surgery, in the words of the mainstream media, and genital mutilation surgery, in the words of some other people. Tennessee was one of the first states to pass a law preventing this sort of gender reassignment surgery of minors, despite a huge amount of pushback from Vanderbilt and various other medical institutions that make an awful lot of money from gender reassignment surgery. And the mainstream media, the national mainstream media, made a big deal out of this and were extremely critical of Tennessee and the Republicans in Tennessee and the Christians in Tennessee who passed this barbaric, backwards, Stone Age dehumanizing bill. And then, not very many days after that, we had the Covenant shooting. And so everybody since then has been walking this very strange, very fine line to where they desperately want to use this brutal murderer as an example of why people should be disarmed, but at the same time, not really be super precise and specific about various kinds of mental health. And then a gigantic circus of professional protesters descended upon the Capitol, yelling and shouting about all kinds of different things. And a whole bunch of people saw their opportunity, mostly Democrats, and they joined into the protests and made a big deal out of things and broke a bunch of rules and got themselves expelled and then got themselves reappointed and made a big deal out of that. It's been, like I said, a circus. And a whole bunch of these opportunistic people wrote potential red flag laws and floated them out there. Sometimes they actually got them filed. Some of them did not get filed. They just got passed around. The governor's office wrote some language that they would like to see put into effect, but then that got reworkshot by other people, and it is currently now at somebody's office. I'm not sure if I'm going to say whose. And so we don't really know what is going to be discussed on August 21st. Will it in fact be some of the language that the governor's office put out months ago, or will it be drastically different than that? Or will it be some of the stuff that's been suggested by other people? Or will everybody show up to the special session and immediately file five bills with a whole bunch of their own ideas in them, pro and con, and be really opportunistic? I have no idea. But I do know that the circus will be in town again. There's already lots and lots and lots of hotel rooms in Nashville booked up starting August 20th. So there will be out-of-town protesters. And the other thing that is slightly annoying to me is that this special session, which the governor is calling, originally it was going to happen earlier in the year, but it got moved to late August. This is a convenient time for certain things, but it's probably most convenient for school teachers. School teachers will have their classes full of people that they can send to the Capitol to protest. Children are actually very unlikely to go to the Capitol building to protest the passage of a weak red flag law or the opposition to a strong red flag law by themselves. Probably wasn't going to happen during summer break, but once the school year has started, all those kids can be bused in. It can technically be a field trip. The teachers can organize it, and I'm going to guess that that is going to happen. So, long story short, in just a few weeks, all of the representatives and senators will be called back to the Capitol to pass the red flag law that they specifically decided not to pass during session. It will cost millions of dollars of taxpayer money to bring them all back and to go through this whole thing again. It will be a circus, it will be confusing, and they're coming back to try to pass a bill that they haven't seen yet. Something that, you know, ideally, with proper rules, people would spend a week in this committee and a week in that committee and a week in the next committee to make sure that proper due diligence is being done with the bill. The legal considerations are being considered, the financial considerations are being properly considered. Different committees are looking over every aspect of the bill to find out if it will actually do what it wants to do and it isn't going to cause any problems. Again, this is theoretically what is supposed to happen with legislation. But in a special session, which are for emergencies only, this is all going to happen in a period of days. Now, we could get a little bit of a jump on the process by showing people the actual language that they are expected to vote on ahead of time so that they can do some of that due diligence on their own. Some of that legal research, some of that financial research, a number number crunching to figure out if what the bill proposes to do is actually even possible. But this is kind of normal for red flag laws. Red flag laws themselves demand that you go quickly, that you not take the time to look at all the evidence, that you not do the due process, that you not use the normal structures, but that you take action quickly because of emergency. And that is how red flag laws are almost always passed. So Tennessee is no exception. What is interesting, though, is that Tennessee is going to be one of the first really Republican states to pass a red flag law, if, in fact, it gets passed. And if we pass this red flag law, it will have been right after getting a permitless carry. It would have happened under the watchful eye of a Republican supermajority. It will have happened after a school shooting that specifically targeted a private Christian school. In short, it will be a pretty big political coup for the gun control crowd. And whatever methods they actually put into play here in Tennessee actually work, that is exactly what you are going to see in other states. So whether you live in Tennessee or not, watch the next few weeks here very closely. Because if the tactics being used by the circus are successful in getting a red flag law here, those are the exact tactics that you will see in play in other states. So for the next few weeks, we are going to continue to do our political pressure, such as it is. We're going to continue to do educational content, such as we can. And I really am eager to see what you guys would like to know. If you are subscribed to the T-Rex political newsletter, you will get more timely updates than this particular podcast. And you'll get more information than we generally put on our YouTube channel. And one of the things that we're probably going to get out to you guys relatively soon is a way to easily email Tennessee representatives, senators, and particularly the Republican leadership. At first, I'm going to ask that only Tennessee residents or Tennessee citizens send in these emails. But as we get closer to the date of the special session, I think it would actually be appropriate for people in other states to comment. People who live in states with red flag laws should let Republican leadership in Tennessee know how ineffective they have been. People who live in states without red flag laws and do not want red flag laws, I believe it's entirely appropriate for them to write in to Tennessee leadership to let them know what a bad idea this is and how much they hope we will stand strong, hold the line, and not give in to the mob. After all, most of the red flag proponents that have been writing in to Tennessee legislators have been writing in from out of state. And most of the protesters that show up, with the exception of some of the kids, are coming from out of state. Although we did also have field trips from Alabama and Kentucky, so definitely had some out-of-state school kids show up in April. At this point, I really don't even know if we should recommend that people go to the Capitol for the special session, because it is going to be a madhouse. I think that the best thing to do right now is to send in a whole bunch of emails and phone calls as we get a little closer to, and then maybe just watch from afar. Let them know that we are not going to come and be there to help bail them out if there are issues. They can depend upon Tennessee Highway Patrol and the Department of Public Safety to watch their backs and try to preserve the sanctity of the Capitol building, because that's what red flag laws say. Basically, all protection of the people is going to come directly from law enforcement, because the people do not need to protect themselves or have the tools to protect themselves. But let's get to some of the comments in the YouTube video. So there's a bunch of people thanking us for putting together a concise summary, which thank you for thinking that it is a concise summary. Here's a gentleman who says, "What I would like to see in the future is a historical breakdown of well-known current laws. For example, a deep dive into how the NFA came to be or how the ATF was created." That is a great idea. I have started to work on an outline for a history of the ATF. It begins during Prohibition, because the ATF was originally part of the Treasury Department that went after bootleg liquor. It is a very fascinating story, so that would be fun to get into. We talked about the NFA a little bit in the suppressor video, and as somebody points out in this comment thread, Ian from Forgotten Weapons has covered this, and also the Gun Control Act of 1968. Ian is very good at some of this historical stuff, not just the firearm engineering, but also some of the legal and legislative stuff in the past. Number of people commenting on mental health, the need to discuss mental health. Here's a Ben Franklin quote. They that give up essential liberty to obtain little temporal safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. I think that is paraphrased, but it is a quote that you see a lot in comment threads about gun control, and rightfully so. Someone points out, this is a very difficult thing to fight against. As you said, it is a very personal tragedy to Bill Lee, as well as the lawmakers being threatened. The tyranny of democracy may make lawmakers bend to something that is objectively wrong because the mob demands and threatens it. Yes, this is a problem with democracy, to be sure, but it's also a problem with any type of representative government. Even though these people represent us, they will hear from the mob if the mob shows up with the torches and the pitchforks. So we really have to make sure that we pick men who are principled, not men who are pragmatic, when we pick people to represent us. So I see lots of comments here in the thread, people saying, you can't vote your way out of this, you can't fix this by voting. True, you cannot fix this sort of problem by voting. But one of the things that you do have to do is you have to raise up men from inside of your community who are actually principled men, and then you need to appoint them, and then you need to vote for them. You have to do many things. Quick rabbit trail. This is a common thread all over the internet. You can never comply your way out of tyranny in the same way that you can never spend your way out of debt. And if you do only one thing, you are not going to be able to get yourself out of anything. You cannot vote yourself out of political difficulty. You cannot build yourself out of political difficulty. But if you do vote and build and raise up people in your community and educate your own children and take all of your responsibilities very seriously, that is how you get out of stuff. You have to do all of the things that you are required to do, not just one of them. And then you can't just complain that if you only did one of them, it would not be sufficient. That is obvious. You have to do all the things. You can't just vote yourself out of trouble, but if you live in a constitutional republic with representative government, voting is one of your responsibilities, and possibly serving is one of your responsibilities as well, just like all of the other responsibilities that you have. Here's someone who says, not that I think T-Rex Arms should quit making their products, but YouTube is the future for you guys. You have the potential to have one of the most successful channels out there. Keep it going. I appreciate that vote of confidence, but I am less confident. I think that YouTube does not want us to be as successful as some of the other channels are, and so we will see. But I do appreciate that you like the content, and we do want to continue educating people with videos, regardless of the platform. Here's a Sam Adams quote, "The Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms." Which is a great quote. That's from the Massachusetts Ratifying Convention of 1788. Here's a gentleman who has four suggestions for future episodes. Number one, mental health and red flag laws. I think everybody sees that that is the elephant in the room. Number two, how red flag laws have been used against people. David Knorr also asked for this in an email today. He wants to see some specific stories of ways that it has gone wrong. So there's a few people in the comments that mention having seen it gone wrong. If you have any specific stories that you can give me, please email those to team@trex-arms.com, and we'll make sure they end up in the future videos. I don't know how many parts this everything wrong with red flag laws is, but it needs to be talked about, because red flag laws are kind of the chink in the armor that the gun grabbers see in a lot of conservative states. They are a compromise that a number of Republicans are okay with. Because they do let you do enough gun grabbing that it's supposed to make the gun grabbers happy, but only to a small number of people, so it shouldn't annoy too many conservative voters. That's the way that it is being pitched to Republicans. The problem is that it will annoy principled voters, and it will never satisfy the people who want total disarmament. The third thing this guy asked for is, what can we do to help stop these red flag laws? That is an excellent question. I would love to know that. We're doing some things here in Tennessee, and we'll see if they are successful, and we'll document them as we go. And then number four, what can we do legally if a red flag law is brought against us? That is an extremely important point. I want to talk to a few lawyers about this, because it is going to differ based on jurisdiction. There are some pretty big differences in the way the different states have enacted red flag laws, and so the appeal process is going to be different in those. But I want to talk to some lawyers. I did get some very good advice on this video from some different lawyers. I sent them the script early on, and they had some suggestions and tweaks that I made, and I want to talk to those guys possibly even on camera, to get more into some of the nitty-gritty, now that we have the introduction done. Here's a recommendation. A guy says, please look into state funding into safer schools or the lack thereof. This is an interesting issue. So one of the things that happened right after the Covenant shooting was that the left demanded gun confiscations and red flag laws. And a bunch of guys on the right pushed for a massive bit of money to be given to schools so that they could have armed security. And that was actually what everybody was protesting in the circus. If you look at the footage of the people protesting and yelling with megaphones right up there by the well, what they are actually protesting is a bill that would put thousands more armed guards in Tennessee schools. They are protesting that move because they would prefer something else. Now, you already know what I think about government schools if you listened to last week's episode. I definitely think that if you are going to provide education for children using government dollars, it's going to be ridiculously expensive at the get-go. But the least thing that you could do is provide some level of security. But you would also have to hold those security guys accountable somehow, some way. The way that things are currently set up, it is completely optional for the SROs to actually do anything. So, you know, paying them to be there if they don't actually have to do anything is not the best use of money. In the same way that paying teachers to teach your kids if they don't actually have to do any academic stuff is, you know, it's also a waste of money. But we talked about that last week. Someone points out we need to get active to protect our rights. Contrary to popular belief, our system works and it rewards passion and perseverance. The system working is maybe a little more optimistic than I am, this guy here, but it is true that if you get involved and if you get engaged, and if you get engaged at the beginning of the process where you are actually educating people who will be the next representatives, you're getting to know them in your communities and you are the ones sending them to Nashville. You're not waiting for guys to just decide that they would like to climb the greasy pole, and then they go out and they get money from the manipulative folks who generally fund the various PACs, and then they listen to those guys when these issues come up. That system does not work for preserving liberty. But the system where you get engaged and people who truly represent the people and truly respect the oaths of office that they take to the Constitution, and then they are reminded of their responsibilities by their constituents and reminded of the restrictions on government that are put in place by the Constitution, that system does work if you do the work. If you don't do the work, it's just a piece of paper and people will ignore it. Especially the kind of people who go into Nashville or go into Washington, D.C. because they would like power and they would like money and they would like prestige, and they're being given it by the kind of people who run the very large bulk political PACs that have specific lobbying goals from special interest groups. And, you know, that system does not work for preserving liberty. The other system does work for preserving liberty. Get involved and persevere. Oh, here's an interesting comment. It's Heresy, interesting name, says the Supreme Court needs to weigh in on this blatantly unlawful practice, not just for those of us in Tennessee, but nationwide. This is a very good point. Post-Bruin, we have the Supreme Court taking on a number of various cases to clarify some of the issues of Bruin. They've also refused or declined to take on a whole bunch of post-Bruin gun control issues because they sent judges back to make a ruling based on the instructions that they got in the Bruin decision. But this is really an excellent point. Based on some of the things that have been said by the Supreme Court, are states even allowed to do this? And I'm sure that there will be cases that the Supreme Court is scheduled to hear that do weigh into this particular issue of depriving people of their right to own firearms. And they may have some precedent that applies to red flag laws. And then we will start to see people referring these kinds of cases to the Supreme Court. So I think that it will happen, and I'm super curious to see how that goes. Here's an interesting comment. A gentleman says, I am a Russian communist regime survivor. I emigrated to the USA 20 years ago. I'm a US citizen now, and I'm completely terrified and shocked that red flag laws exist in America, and most of the citizens didn't freak out. Some even like it. For me, it looks as if people start to see people on the streets in brown shirts forcing Jews to wear Jewish stars and thinking that's okay. If tyranny will succeed by building infrastructure, and this is what they are doing now, the U.S. will be done. Okay, I'm a little more optimistic than this guy, but when you create laws that say that certain people can be disarmed, but you're really, really squishy on who those certain people are, does have some historical deja vu feel to it. Now, most red flag laws are pretty broad in the way that they describe who can and cannot be disarmed. But there is nevertheless kind of a tendency of one particular side to do all of the reporting and the other political side to own the guns that are getting taken away by the red flag laws themselves. So you do end up with a kind of a lopsided ideological application of red flag laws just naturally. This gentleman who says, I had a friend directly affected by red flag laws and his guns were confiscated for more than a month while waiting for a court date in which he was found completely innocent. So I would like more stories like this and more details. So I'm going to get in contact with this guy. Here is a Thomas Paine quote. You guys know what I think about Thomas Paine. But when he summarizes good ideas, he's just fantastic. An avidity to punish is always dangerous to liberty. It leads men to stretch, misinterpret, and even misapply even the best of laws. He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his enemy from oppression. For if he violates this duty, he establishes a precedent that will reach to himself. Yep, this is an extremely important principle that was talked about quite a bit during the War for American Independence. Because remember, a relatively small percentage of colonists wanted to be free from England, and a lot of people wanted to sit it out. And so it was very important for the founders that they figure out a way in which all men would be treated equally under the law, even people who had been traitors to the crown, or rather, traitors to the colonies towards the crown, or yeah, it was super complicated, and there were a whole lot of loyalists that we very carefully laid out laws and principles so that these guys would not be second-class citizens. They would not be outside of the protections of the law that the founders were putting into place. There's a bunch of people asking me to run for president, which is a thing that people do whenever I put on a suit or even just a suit jacket. They assume that I should be a president. I mean, admittedly, the bar at the moment is pretty low, so apparently a suit jacket is all I need. It's baffling how few people can see the long-term applications of passing these type of laws. Oh, implications. A recent example is the Patriot Act. All this does is simply price common people out of the ability to have a fair trial. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Patriot Act in a future video, talking about the Restrict Act. I'm sort of waiting to see what the Restrict Act becomes before I shoot it. But yeah, the Patriot Act is a perfect example of this. We're going to suspend a whole bunch of the normal protections that people have, but only for a small group of people, so you don't have to worry about the implications. Gentleman says, hopefully Tennessee will become a template for defeating this rubbish. Yes, Tennessee will become a template. It will either become a template for how to resist the mob, or it's going to become a template for how to use the mob to make even a Republican supermajority bend to your will and pass red flag laws in one of the most conservative states in the Union. It's going to be a template either way. This is a test that pass or fail is going to have massive, massive implications. So keep your eyes on Tennessee, whether you live here or not. It's going to have implications. Speaking of implications, a lot of people pointing out what a gray area mental health is, and it really is. It's medically speaking, psychiatrically speaking, in general. But recently, it has become a political battleground that makes it even more of a complicated, like, minefield to talk about. And then making it something that gets your rights and reputation taken away just completely upends it. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. During Hurricane Katrina, they came in to take them in some areas. Yeah, the disarming of people during Hurricane Katrina is very disturbing. Not to make it okay, but I do see why some people thought that that was a good idea during an emergency. I disagree, but that was a pretty trying time, and there was a lot of stuff going on in that particular area. Now, my argument is, when that stuff was going on, that is when people should be best equipped to defend themselves, not least equipped. But it was a pretty crazy emergency. Now, the problem with red flag laws is you see the exact same issue of people being disarmed. The difference is that the emergency is non-existent. So demanding that people act as if there is a crazy emergency going on and calling a special session so that we can address the emergency that happened way back in March is crazy. There's absolutely no reason to call a special session. It really should wait until the legislators come back in January, and then we can handle this properly. Oh, this is an interesting comment. Thankfully, red flag laws will not be coming to Idaho because they are explicitly banned in our state's constitution. I think more states should amend their constitutions to ban them as well. West Virginia has an anti-red flag law that they passed somewhat recently, and personally, I believe that the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and a similar part of the Tennessee Constitution makes red flags unconstitutional, doubly unconstitutional, but we could be a little more explicit, and possibly another law would be a good way to do it. I'm really curious to see what happens in West Virginia with their law. Do an episode that includes potential solutions, because there are politicians that claim that the left does not want to have conversations with them about their ideas, and at the same time, the left claims that the right does not want to come up with any solutions. Yeah, this is a difficult one, because for a lot of the issues that the left brings up, they want a solution that is different from what we already had. So, for example, when there is someone who is criminally insane, someone who is a legitimate threat to his neighbors, someone who really does need to be disarmed because of criminally irresponsible behavior, we have the tools in all 50 states to disarm that person or to take that person off the streets. It requires a high burden of proof because that is a big deal. So the mechanism already exists, they just don't want to use it. They want an alternative solution that fits faster, more power to the government, less power to the people. And then they complain that the right doesn't have any solutions. They're talking about real conservatives. Real conservatives truly do not have any solutions to the question of how can we give the state more power and have less power in the hands of the people. True conservatives will not have a solution to that question, a good answer to that question, because all of the solutions that we have suggested for the actual problem, the root cause of the problem, is going to be more power in the hands of the people and less power in the hands of the government, and more responsibility being taken by people to do things, whether that is educate their own children, defend their own children by protecting their own schools, or actually using some of the existing laws, the good laws that we have on the books, to deal with people who are causing trouble, as opposed to just turning a blind eye, believing that it's somebody else's problem, and then, you know, nothing gets done until it is too late. People have responsibilities to their communities and their neighbors that are their responsibilities. And just giving more money to the police and giving more money to the social workers and giving more power to the state isn't actually going to solve any of these things, despite the claims from the left. Those are your responsibilities. And if you give them to someone else, that someone else is going to do a really poor job of meeting those responsibilities. And then they're going to just ask for more money and more power constantly and continually because they're so bad at meeting the responsibilities and the problems never get solved. The actual needs never get met. No matter how much money you give to the wrong people, they will never do the right thing with it. And so when the left says, I need a solution whereby we give more money to the wrong people to make the right thing happen, in that criteria, there just won't be a solution. So maybe the best thing to do is to not point out that we've had the solution for hundreds of years here in the United States. Maybe the best thing to do is to just claim that you have a brand new idea, something highly progressive, and then pull out a law from 200 years ago. That can be the new solution. Welderman says we're getting closer to the thought police. That's a good point, because the idea of the red flag laws is that you're going to see somebody doing some sort of activity that means that they shouldn't have guns anymore. But the underlying thought is that you can't wait for the activity. You have to look for other red flags. So you have to see what people are saying or what people are thinking that means that they aren't actually to be trusted with firearms. So we are definitely headed towards thought police territory, because it is going to turn into this person has these views that makes him untrustworthy with a firearm. And eventually it'll turn into some kind of catch-22 thing where the desire to own firearms is what disqualifies you from owning them. So maybe this isn't a catch-22, maybe it's a catch-44 magnum. Andrew points out that I just explained the plot to the second Captain America movie, the people trying to do what you were describing are the bad guys. Yeah, and that reminded me of another Captain America quote. I think it is from the Age of Ultron movie, which was bad, and I can't believe I remember this quote, but Captain America says something like, every time you try to stop a war before it starts, you hurt innocent people, or you kill innocent people. This preemptive action is always super risky, because you will never know for sure that the people that you disarmed actually deserved it. You'll never know for sure the people that you killed and preemptively struck were going to do something bad. And that makes it extremely unjust. So unjust that they can even point it out in a modern Disney movie. And that's probably a pretty good place to wrap up this particular podcast. I've been out in the woods where it's relatively quiet, and I'm being ate up by mosquitoes. This is not the first time I have lost literal blood recording this podcast, but I really appreciate you guys listening. And I'd love for you to go and watch the video if you haven't yet and share it with people if you haven't yet. Go ahead and get it out there and keep an eye out for future political content. And if you want to get involved, make sure that you're signed up for our political newsletter. There will be more calls to action, as the kids say. There will be more steps that you can personally take. We're making a few tools. We're writing up some stuff that you can send in to people. And we're collecting names, you know, not names of people who shouldn't be allowed to have firearms and then preemptively taking action against them, but names of the people who should really have some of this information and then making sure that they have it. So make sure that you are subscribed to our political newsletter if you want to get in on that, and keep an eye on the YouTube video for future episodes of Everything Wrong with Red Flag Laws, because it's a lot. And then don't forget your bug spray. That is your homework assignment for the week.